Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Good morning, church. Good morning, George. How are you? Like Bonnie, I'm also excited that we are about to start. The kids will go back to school soon, and I'm excited about that. Glory to God. Amen. I've been teaching my children at home for the last over 1 year, and oh God. So, Bonnie, Auntie Joanne is excited that the children will be going back to school. I think you're going back to school soon. Sam will be going back to school next term. So, and in my household, that feeling is mutual. I keep asking my students, so, you guys, are you excited about going back to school? And they say that they are. So the feeling is mutual in the household, so we really thank God for that. Amen? Amen and amen. How many of us received, not read, received the prayer direction for the week? And how many of us read the prayer direction? And how many of us prayed according to it? 3 people. Glory to God. Amen. So we are going to pray. Just in case you thought you had missed, don't worry. We are going to pray today. Amen. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, and we all, some of you who were here, for the people that were here, you heard what was preached, but what really caught my attention was the word of the week that Pastor Moses shared with us. It was Rick Joyner's word of the week. How many of us received that one also? And at least, please tell me you read it. Yes. Okay, at least Rick Joyner. I know people read some things. So we really thank God for that word. Personally, the reason why I'm talking about the Resurrection Sunday and that word of the week was for the last, 1 month or two, I've been listening to sermons about suffering. Those are sermons that, you people, first of all, they're difficult to preach because you preach while you're looking at people and you see sometimes they get so crestfallen. But also, generally, suffering is difficult to talk about. And the way I started listening to these sermons was a friend of mine called me and told me, listen to this sermon about affliction. I'm like, affliction. And this time, no, nyasente. Me, I don't want affliction things. Me, I'm looking for other things, yeah? And then she called me again. She's like, you know what? Listen to the sermon. So I was hooked onto those sermons about affliction. So I started listening, then I would listen, and it wasn't anything that I hadn't heard before. Certainly, like even the people that attended last Sunday, or if you read the word of the week, none of what was said here, or at least I felt, was new to any of us. Why? Because suffering is universal. They say that misery loves company. And when people are suffering, you know, anywhere where people are suffering, you will have input. You will have, if you ever start talking about suffering of any kind, a bad relationship, loss of money, loss of a job, any form of suffering, disease, sickness, you will have an ear. You will have fellowship around suffering. Yeah? And so, as I listened, my eyes were opened more. So when I wasn't here on Sunday, last Sunday, but I listened to the sermon and I was like, yeah, this is what I've been listening to the whole, the past months. And then when I read Rick Joyner's word of the week, I don't know if he's even called pastor, but some call him Pastor Rick. I was like, yes, this is it. Then on Thursday, Pastor Moses sent me a message telling me, please preach on Sunday. I'm like, but as I wasn't really prepared, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to preach. But thankfully, this is what it means to, when you develop disciplines, when you'll be ready in and out of season. So I just felt, I didn't know when I was listening to those sermons, I didn't know that at one point I would actually start to share about suffering. So it was very easy for me. even the preparation was easier than any other that I've had before. So I'm going to just recap what stood out for me in last Sunday's sermon. So last Sunday, first and foremost, Pastor told us we are not exempted from suffering. If our Lord Jesus Christ suffered, we shall suffer. If you're not yet suffering, just wait for your turn. Glory to God. Then we also learned or were reminded that before victory, there is a battle. Before the crown, there is a cross. And we read from Romans 8:17-18. Please put up the scriptures because it's just a recap. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God, which shall be revealed in us. So if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him. So another thing that really stood out in last Sunday's sermon is that through our sufferings, our faith is perfected. We are perfected through our hardships. If you have had anything to do, if you've ever heard of the sanctified, you know we say we are redeemed, justified, sanctified. What really sanctified means is the suffering and the hardship that you go through trains and prunes and molds you as you go through your salvation walk on earth. So that whole process, the process of trying, pruning, molding, burning, whatever you want to call it, that whole process is sanctifying, where you get rid of, through that process, you get rid of all that is of the flesh, all that is carnal, and you become more and more godly. So that whole process is what we call sanctifying. So fire sanctifies us. Glory to God. And then last Sunday, we also were reminded that whatever affliction we are going through does not compare to what our Lord Jesus Christ went through. And you know what? I don't really care what you're going through. And I'll say that. I don't really care what you are going through. I don't really care what I am going through. But it cannot be compared to the pain, to the shame that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. And then also, lastly, as Pastor concluded, he admonished us and encouraged us that whatever suffering we are going through, we shouldn't give up. Do not give up. Do not cast away your salvation during suffering. Because many times, when we go through suffering, it is not that the devil wants to afflict your body or your mind. He's actually after your salvation. So at the end, if you cast away your salvation, then he will have won. If you cast away your faith, your confidence in Christ, then he will have won more than you losing your body, more than you losing your money. So, and that, by the way, the culmination of all that will be hell. So let us not cast away our confidence. Let's not cast away our faith when we are going through suffering. So that is pretty much what I picked from last Sunday's sermon. And that's just a recap. But I felt that God wants us to remember that there is grace, abundant grace for us during suffering. And that is what I'm going to talk about today. I want to encourage us that there is grace. There is grace for you, for whatever you are going through. And let me tell you something. You don't have to feel. Sometimes you're not even sure if you have the grace for what you're going through. But day by day, you go through it. And when you look back in retrospect, you realize that it was only the grace of God that has carried you through it. Amen? And there are times in your life where you feel like, you look back at a certain season in your life and you're like, how did I go through this? And sometimes, by the way, grace presents itself in a way that, let me use an example of something I was going through. There's something I was going through that was so terrible, but during that period, I didn't know how bad it was. For me, my eyes were blinded to my suffering. But other people would look at me and they'd be like, how is she going through that? asobola atya ya. And it's only when that season ended that I also looked back and I was like, was that me? Like, was I even walking like that? Was I even looking like that? Like, God. So God blinded me to all those things. And sometimes that's just the grace of God that comes and covers you. So this morning, I just want to remind us that there is grace that covers you. There is grace that insulates you. It does not take away the pain, but it strengthens you to go through that time. Times come in your salvation walk where you cannot actually say that God is not faithful, because he has been faithful. But at the same time, when you're going through that affliction or suffering, you can't say that he is faithful. Yeah? You cannot say that he's faithful. But you're not confident. At that point, you're not confident to say that he's faithful. But again, at the same time, you can't say that he has been unfaithful. Why? Because you have seen him work in your life. There are times when you have prayed, believed God, done all the things that you think can get God to move. You've fasted week in, week out. And let me tell you, all the words that come to you, the dreams that come to you are speaking comfort. Be still and know that I am God. The sermons that you listen are just that. God is telling you, take a seat, take a seat. I know your issue and I will work on it. But he doesn't seem to be working on it. So suffering is like that. There are times, let me use an example. I don't know if the men in this place will connect with this, but let me use an example of the time I was pregnant. When I was pregnant, when I was expecting my first child, of course, yeah, I got married, what, I was nice looking, what, everything in its place, prim and proper. After 3 years, three years, I conceive. Now I had read Supernatural Childbirth. How many of you know that kabook? I had read Supernatural Childbirth. I was believing God. I am the prayer warrior. I was saying this thing. I'm going to remain as normal as can be. You guys, I prayed. I had faith. I sowed seed. I did everything I knew how. And I was like, when the day I get pregnant. Now remember, I even started before. So the day I get pregnant, I have to sail through. So, the pregnancy test shows positive. We are excited. A week later, you guys, my whole life was turned upside down. I started throwing up. I started, you know, all sorts of things. That pregnancy, Kwezi, the firstborn, was the proper, you know, textbook pregnancy. I was like the SI unit for any bad thing about pregnancy. Any bad thing, yeah? Then I'll go to see my guy and he'll tell me, no, you're progressing well. You're progressing. I'm like, but you know, I'm not eating. I'm throwing up. I'm not sleeping. I have a heartburn. Then I think at about like 5 months, my guy, then an old man, I don't know if he's still alive now. He looked at me walking into the room and he told me, Joan, in Uganda, he told me, Totunu kikako. Yeah? Like you're such, you're, this is your guy. He's like, you're such a sight for sore eyes. You know what that means? Like, even if my eyes were so sore and sick, I would still want to see you, as in you are that bad. Then I met my mom, I think like in the 6th month. You know what she told me? She told me, bakuteka echimba nchukura, meaning, if they put a bean on you, it will start growing. And you guys, I had pimples. I had what? I had melasma. I had hyperpigmentation. Everything. And I was still believing God. I was like, no. I would go throw up and I said, no, me, I am healed. I would go do what? And say, no. Then I realize now, we are progressing meanwhile, It is the 6th month and I'm still believing God to take away all these things. And then the reverse is true for some of my friends, that I would see them and you guys, I see people taking pictures, maternity shoot. Esther, maternity shoot, someone is like this. For me, I asked a lady who wanted to do a free shoot for me. Free shoot? How much editing will you have to do? Will you really, really edit? Then she told me, if I really edit you, you'll become something different. I'm like, but I'm already something different. So I showed her my pre-pregnancy picture, and like now we're trying to get the skin tone. I'm like, okay, when you edit now, can you at least make it like this? And she told me, no, it will change you totally. Yeah. So she's like, I have to leave some. Then I'm like, but how much are you going to leave? How much are you going to leave? And she's like, no, but I have to leave some things. Then I look in the mirror. Every day a pimple would pop up. I had acne, bacne. I had pimples on my back. I had pimples on my face. I had what? You know, you people, I had all sorts of things. I had a geographical tongue. Who knows that? When your tongue starts to map, like you have a map on the tongue. You've seen people who have those things. And I would even fear to talk. You know, I would fear to talk. Then my friends would even pass me on the street. This was the nice, the once very beautiful Joanne. Yeah? So, I was like, but God, this affliction. Then, 9th month comes. The labor hits. I said, okay. Now, I told myself, if I have lost on the other one where I did not have a smooth pregnancy, this labor, I have to go through it without pain. I was really not still that day. I'm like, no. Eh? Like, okay, if I have, okay, be to be Ganya. This one here, it has to be a pain-free labor. You guys, the pain that hit me was like a ton of bricks. It was too much. I had gone with music. Stupid things that I had gone with music. I was like, yeah, when I'm laboring, music will be playing, Hillsong. Then I'd be there, say, at one point I told them, just shut that thing down. Shut it down. I'm like, but why is the pain so much? And in that moment, you people, in that moment, I realized, give yourself over to the pain and see what happens. Because this time, for every surge and contraction that would come, I would try and, like, I would fight back. You know, my body would tense. So at one point, I'm like, but you know what? Let me just give myself over and say, let's see what will happen. So the doctor, the guy comes. He's like, join in Kwerechi. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, okay, sit. Let's sit. We both sat, just like that. We sat next to each other. And he's like, so, are you feeling any pain? I'm like, I don't know. I no longer know what pain is. So I had just given in to that pain. And at that moment of surrender, I learned something about pain and affliction, that it cannot kill you. It can't take you any further than that. The moment I gave in, for some reason, it became bearable. Now, I was not fighting it anymore. I was just allowing it to come and have its way and go. Come and have its way and go. Until I gave birth. Glory to God. So that is suffering. Sometimes when we are suffering, you know, you fight so much scripture, faith, what? But there is a place where you reach and you're like, you know, let me just surrender to this suffering. Let it come and go. Let it serve its purpose and season. And after it has gone, by the way, in that place of surrender is your strength. When you're not fighting anymore about it, when you're not, it is your strength. When you surrender to God, you're like, you know what? At the end of that day, it will not kill me. But just like every suffering that we go through, there is glorification. My crown was crazy. Glory to God. So I gave birth to this very beautiful boy. Crazy. Hey, crazy, stand up. Yeah. So, now, when crazy was about 6 months, I was going to take a picture with him, and some ladies came and told me, is this your child? Like, where is your baby? And I'm carrying Kwezi. Like, where is your baby? I'm like, he's this one. Take her, na yono mwana fanana half caste. Yeah? Ha, I was like, you know this suffering. Ha, had you seen me before? But even then, I still had some remnants of suffering, maybe on my face, that I still wasn't befitting of my crown. Okay? That actually for the longest time, people would think that Kwezi was a half-caste, yeah? Half-caste born of Muzungu and a it. You know, there are all sorts of half castes nowadays, but let me be clear. The one that she meant was a Muzungu and a black person or an African. So that is suffering, okay? And I hope you can relate to that. That is the simplest experience I can give you without making you. I can tell you many other stories about my personal suffering, but if I do, then we shall all be crestfallen, okay? But I hope you understand that at the end of suffering, there is such a crown. And when I look at him, man, that is why I went back and had two more. Glory to God. Glory to God. That you forget. Those past sufferings are not compared to the glory that comes. Yes? And eventually, by the way, on my third child, I had a pain-free delivery. Glory to God. Natural one, and I had a pain-free delivery. Glory to God. That the moment the construction started, Manzi came. And I was like, he has come. Okay, fine. It was just a walkover. No music, no what. But it was a walkover. So the point is that there is grace for affliction. There is grace during suffering. And it is part of our Christian walk. But now, I'm going to talk about what, you know, there are many things that are misconstrued around suffering. Some people think, especially in the hyper grace message, prosperity and wealth, health and wealth message, people think that you cannot suffer and prosper at the same time, which is not true. Some people think that suffering and thriving or flourishing cannot coexist. And I'm going to debunk some of those things that we have fed ourselves on, okay? I have three things to talk about. Now, first of all, suffering and flourishing can coexist. Just like the example I gave you about being pregnant. I am growing destiny, a legacy, the great and beautiful and handsome quiz in my stomach. But you know what? Nothing about me can say, not even a scan, can show you what I'm carrying in my stomach. Everybody has a spiritual womb, all right? And when you're going through suffering, there are things that are happening in your spiritual womb that if someone just sees you on the outside, they cannot tell. Suffering and thriving or affliction, rather thriving and flourishing, can coexist. So when you're suffering in one area, it does not necessarily mean that everything about, like, sometimes if we make suffering about, like, if you're suffering in your area of finances, you'll think that is all there is in your life. So what if you're broke? But you're healthy. So what if you have been chucked yesterday? You know, you have friends who love you. You have your girl squad, for those who have squads here. I know some. You have friends. You have your boises for the boys. Yeah? So suffering and flourishing can actually coexist. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So in this scripture, we see that you can actually waste away on the outward. Anything can, or money can go. Money can go. Your health can go. Your friends can go. Whatever, in-laws, friends, relationships can go. But you know what? It doesn't mean that on the inside you are that. Glory to God. There is a work that is happening on the inside of you. And this is where I want us to turn our eyes to grace, that you have the grace to go through that, because there is a bigger thing that is happening on the inside of you. There is a bigger and greater thing that is happening on the inside of you. When I was getting married, we had many family issues. Like, you know, my aunties, paternal, what, they didn't show up. There were many family issues, yeah? And I remember the paternal auntie to whom I walked out with of Tsoko Mnonye wa today, that castle, was my mom's friend, yeah? Juliana, that was those days. I don't know what they sing nowadays, but for us, we're on Tsoko Mnonye. Even pastor was kunonyad, by the way. If you are here and you got married 10 years ago, I am so sure about kunonya, or you kunonya someone. So those were our songs. So I remember, you know, I was like, man, how am I going to start this marriage? I was so worried, yeah? Like, you know, you should have a blessing from elders. The elders, apart from my parents, of course, had bailed out from both sides. So, Andrew, I understand, yeah? So, all this, you know, it was so stressful that on my honeymoon, I was even fasting. I would wake up in the morning and go and pray. On honeymoon, meanwhile, yeah? I would wake up, go and pray because I was so scared about the thing I have entered. Did I get the blessing? Didn't I get the blessing? What? But you know what, yeah? Then I tried to resuscitate some of those relationships. They failed. It wasn't my... Hey, I just said, you know what, God, eh? Me, I'm surrendering this. I want to know that you're the one that makes marriages. And guess what, you people? Are those relationships back? Some of them, yes. Some of them, not. But don't I have a flourishing family? But through that time, you people... As a bride, I was extremely stressed. But it taught me something. That what matters in your house is your parents' blessing. Someone you call a parent. Your parents' blessing and God. And you cannot convince me right now that relatives, in-laws, outlaws, that those are people that make a marriage. So... Your friend's squad, what? This one has refused to be my bride. You know, there are crazy things I see happening today. People, if like Juliana wants me to be a bridesmaid, she will have to write to me over a letter, over gift me. Juliana, you know those crazy things. I bet don't do them. Well, what? Then over, she gives me a gift, asking me, please be my what? My bridesmaid. And I'm like, really? So all those people, and you know, after 6 months, you look around that squad and it won't even be there. But you know what? What I went through at that point taught me that stuff of blood is thicker than water. Sometimes it's not it. Glory to God. And I was hardened. It worked in me something. But it also worked in me compassion. Glory to God. It worked in me compassion for them. Forgiveness for those people, you know? So I really... Thank God for that. So yes, suffering, you can suffer and at the same time flourish. Glory to God. Then when you're suffering or when you're going through affliction, and if you're in this place today, you came here, you are challenged, you're thinking, did I have enough faith? By the way, suffering doesn't mean that you're walking in unbelief. Not so all the time. But let me tell you something about what you'll hear faith preachers telling you. You're suffering, toina kukiriza. And you're like, but I have believed. And then, you know, you then go back, you're like, but Jesus said, if I have faith as small as a mustard seed, but nange, in this suffering, you can't tell me I don't even have that much, that small faith. When you're going through affliction, it does not necessarily mean that you are walking in unbelief. No. Not all the time. Sometimes, yes, but not all the time. By the way, it could be that you have so much faith. You have so much faith. And it is that which is being tried. Glory to God. That very faith that you have that is so great is being tried. Glory to God. So when you suffer, it doesn't mean that you don't have faith. Then suffering does not necessarily mean that you have sinned or done something wrong. I'll tell you something that I suffered. I grappled with. One day I had a man of God preaching and saying, you know, when you've prayed, when you're going through a hard time and you have prayed, God answers. So it's not, the problem is not God. There must be something wrong that you're doing. Maybe you haven't received properly. But how many times am I going to receive this thing? Yeah? But because sometimes you lack understanding of your season, what you are going through. So you start to think that, I did something wrong. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. It doesn't say that all who don't have faith, who are sinning, who are what? No. But again, many are the afflictions of a righteous man. That very man that you quote and says the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man, that very man will suffer. That very man will suffer. Glory to God. He will suffer for the glory of God. Now I hope that for our sufferings are for the glory of God, like we didn't put ourselves in those things. But even if we did, you will learn something. Glory to God. So suffering is simply a passage, a rite of passage for a Christian. You know, we talk about the three sufferings that we go, the baptisms. We talk about two mostly. When you get born again, neba kunyika, water baptism, that's one. The second one, baptism of the Holy Ghost, you come, split tongues 4 hours straight. But there is that baptism of suffering that almost goes without even being talked about. That one is what, you know, just like we identify with Christ in his victory, in his glory, we are going to identify with him in his what? In his suffering. So there is that baptism by which the world should look at you and say, "Banange, this guy is suffering like Jesus." Have you heard that? But should it be said of you that you're suffering like Jesus? Know that that is a win. Glory to God. If someone says that you're suffering like Jesus, that is a compliment. Amen? So yes, it's just a passage. And where do we, where in our hyper grace or hyper faith, health and wealth messages, you don't seem to see that. Okay? You don't seem to hear that. But let me tell you, it's a passage, and everyone who is wealthy, healthy, whichever mighty man and woman of God will tell you, you know what, I had that baptism of suffering. And it is better it is continuous until we see the Lord face to face, then all suffering will cease. Then, when you're suffering, when you're going through affliction, it doesn't mean that you are demonic or there are demons. And there are demons tormenting. You know, like again I said, it's sometimes some of these things, it's just a passage. It is, you're being baptized into the fellowship of his sufferings. You can bind all you want. You can go and lay hands all you want. But if it is your season to go through that time of suffering, you will go through it. Glory to God. So there is no need to actually bind and break and lose and do all those things. Amen? Then the last thing about suffering is the fact that you suffer and you express, you cry and you express your frustration doesn't necessarily mean that you're in unbelief. Another thing that I grappled with, the hyper grace message, no, hyper faith will tell you, if you're suffering, like how can you say, "Omtegukuluma," how can you say that you're broke? How can you even cry? You cry, you're not in faith. And I was like, but Biruma, like some of these things, they, you know, it pains, it hurts, you know. Don't cry and stay there forever. And one of the day I got delivered from that kind of thinking was when I read, Jesus wept. You people, our Lord Jesus Christ, he cried when he was under distress in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was so distressed, he needed companions. And he bled, plasma, blood, yeah? And man, it was so difficult. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" So, I remember during my labor with Kwezi, you know, I had heard, they had told me, when you're in labor, omchala, what's the labor in Uganda, Juliana? Like when you're laboring, tokabo, mwana teba mukabira, mwana teba mukabira. Who has heard that? Yes, Lydia, how many kids do you have? Yes! They will tell you, man, don't shed tears. It's about an omen, what? But I reached a point when I was sitting next to my guy and I said, "How can you feel this much pain and you don't cry?" Eh? I asked him, "How can I not cry?" And the lady was there telling me, the midwife, "Umwana joint, mamu kabira, tukaba, tukaba." I was like, you guys, My mom would tell me, "I don't cry," because my mom, her training, she's a midwife. She's like, utakadira. I was like, man, the pain was too much. The pain was too much. And by the way, if you don't express yourself during that time, God gave us tears and emotions as a mechanism to cope through that time. And when you're going through suffering, just because you've cried doesn't mean that, you've lost all the faith. But sometimes the sorrow is too much. Sometimes the sorrow is too much. There is something I was going through for over 5 years. And you guys, I cried. I cried. And then you know what? Eh? Let's go to Psalm 126 verses. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtlessly come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This shows that, by the way, you're sowing, you're going through suffering, but you know what? There is weeping. How is it that you are sowing, carrying something good, but you're also weeping? You're bearing seed, but you're also weeping. So, that time I cried, and then I remember the verse that talks about how our tears in heaven are not, they are stored. So I'm like, yeah, Bananga is good to cry, because then I have something I'm sending. Then I have something I'm sending to heaven. So men who are here, macho men, I don't know how you people do it, but you should have like a place. When you go to your man cave, boy chibanga chiluma seven God, between me and you, this hurts. It really, really hurts. Or else you become psycho, by the way. And this is where people get. So I hope I have debunked those things. So when you're going through, but ladies, also don't overdo it. Therefore, you're all crying all the time, crying and doing all those things. So don't overdo it. But know that there is a place where sometimes the pain is too much and you just cry. Yeah. There's something that I think I sent Pastor a message about it. You know, just looking at someone, and I was so sorrowful, And you know how you even get ashamed, You know, I cried, and my husband was like, but why are you crying? And I couldn't tell him the thing that was making me cry. But I just had that sorrow in my heart for this person. And then, of course, my husband would have asked me at that point that, but this is not, it's not affecting you physically. But, you know, there is that, I don't know, the pain of the spirit, the pain of your soul, you know? So there is that place that you just go to and you just cry. And people think that, when you pray, you have dreams, you have all these things, that you don't go through those moments. All those things are there. We just don't say that. No. Let me tell you something. If you ever see a man of God crying or a woman of God crying during a worship session, know that they cry even for other things. So know that they cry even for other things. There are people that I watch on TV and I'm like, this one can even cry. And especially in African culture, they'll tell you, no, a man is not supposed to cry. What? But when a child is born, you see the man crying. Yeah, his child is born. The man will cry. So it's okay for you to cry. But don't make a habit of it. But it's okay for you to express those things. And by the way, the more you continue to kangume, God already sees that you're crying in your heart. Yeah? You are crying in your heart. One of the things that I really felt so bad about was the fall of Elvis. I remember that very last service that I attended. I had, maybe marriage is interesting. I had told Sam, this guy is like this. And Sam was like, no, me, I have to still go, what. So I pleaded with him the whole day, telling him, Sam, now it was Tuesday. Sam, don't go for the fellowship. It's even raining. This man, the dreams were, Sam was like, let us go with him. So anyway, we jump into the car. I'm like, hey, let's just support. We jump into the car. We go. That sermon, that last service, I call it the last service for some, really, it rained that entire time. And the entire time I was just crying. And just, and I sat next to Sam and I said to him, Sam, me, I'm going, I'm crying, because I was like, all these people, and I'm here. I was so sorrowful. And I cried. And the moment he finished preaching, it stopped raining. You know, when it stops raining and there's even no, drizzles. It's like as if the moment he said amen, then he walked off the podium. It's like also heaven was like, zoop, it shut down. There was no, we're driving back home. And you know how because it had been raining so heavily and you keep on using your wipers because maybe there are small raindrops. There was nothing, zero of that. Sam said, Sigenda could die. I'm not going back there. How can it stop raining when the guy has done what? You know, My husband's faith is simple. For all the dreams that we had received, and that is what took him out of Zoe. As like, God, you touch people in your own way. So, I was so sorrowful, so pained, So there is that place. I felt like my heart was going through that suffering. And I was like, God, is this what Jesus went through? Okay, something like this, similar, yeah? So for you to see the value of a soul and them going down the drain, you guys, it's bad. So anyway, yes, I don't know why I was saying that, but that was, you can suffer, you can flourish at the same time. I have debunked some of your beliefs. So, but again, like I said, there is grace for affliction. But how are we going to flourish during suffering? How are we going to flourish to thrive when we are suffering? The very first thing is what we sang about today. The very first thing that we do. Settle it in your heart that God is good. Settle it in your heart that God loves you. Today we sang about the greatness of God. Settle it. Have it settled that God is great, greater than your circumstances. Look at him for who he is. Settle it. Just like you know, you wake up in the morning and you're settled about your gender, I hope. You're settled about your gender. Settle it in your heart that Mukama Gosinza is great. That is how, by the way, you manage to lift hands in church when you come. That is how you keep your praise going. Because there's some things that are settled. That God is bigger, greater than your circumstances. That he is with you, even in that suffering. Settle the things that you know about God. Amen? Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, glory to God, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yeah? No, let's go back to the first one. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness? Settle that in your suffering, in your affliction, the Lord loves you. His love is much greater and bigger than your circumstance. Settle it. Glory to God. When you're going through that time, go to those scriptures. When you read them, ask God to breathe them afresh to you. And in that way, it will be easier for you. Glory to God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, 1 to 3, that when we go through the waters, I think I was telling Carol, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. This is what I was telling Carol. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. When you walk through the fire, not run. It says when you walk. My understanding of walking is this. When you're walking, the fire is burning. You're not running through fire because fire has to have its time with you. It has to burn off all that chaff. Yeah? So there is no way you can run through that. No. You're going to walk through the fire. But you know what God is telling you? That he's going to be with you in that fire. He is with you. Believe it or not, this is the salvation work that we have been called to believe by faith. That you know what? Everyone has deserted me. My relatives have deserted me on my big day, yeah? But Lord, I am walking with you into this covenant. My covenant is not with men, but it is with you. That is how, those are things, can you imagine a bride? Those are things I'm telling myself. So, komunoni, I'm like, my covenant, Lord, is with you, not with people. So, me, I was there, my covenant, what, God? You know, I'm saying these things, and meanwhile, my aunt is there, my mom's friend. She's there with the kabo. We are kunonyaring. She's about where. And for me, I'm like, God, I am making a covenant. Walking into you're with me, even as I'm kunonyaring Sam. We are kunonyaring him together. What? And that is how I settled it, that God was going to be with me in this marriage. God, as in, settle some of those things. Glory to God. And it is still the same thing that he's taking me through. marriage, the 13 years. A time comes, and Sam is the other side, I'm this side, but my God, I am walking with you. I am walking with you. Even Sam is like, God, I'm also walking with you. So we are all walking with the Lord. Amen? And God blesses us like that because he sees in our own way we are all walking with him. Glory to God. But that is a place. But these things, the things of marriage, for you who are here, you have to get to a time and you're like, for me and the Lord. Yeah? You're like, I'm going to work out before God. So most of the things that you do in marriage, it's good to do them for people. The books tell us you have to think about your spouse, do minister to them, what. But there is a place that is deeper than that, that when I'm doing something for my spouse, I'm ministering to the Lord. So some of those things, I think this is why I don't even have that silent therapy, that stuff, what is it called? Yes, silent treatment. I don't know how to do silent treatment. Why? Because I feel like I'm quiet on the Lord. And the Lord is telling me, So I don't know how to do it. Luckily, my husband doesn't talk so much. So maybe sometimes I get away with it. So, when you look at those things that sometimes people go through the hard times, you're like, but na yegwe singo overdot, ya mukama, would you be doing this? Let's take your spouse away. Let's take your child away. Would you be doing this to another person? If you were with the things that we do to our brothers, which is like as if we're doing them to the Lord, yeah? So you ask yourself those things, and there and then you shrink yourself without the help of a written book, okay? Just because you know God. Another way we can flourish during that time is Psalm 34, verses 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers him out of them all. When I looked up this Lord, what this Lord actually meant, it meant the great and mighty God, the all-powerful God. So in this verse, the word Lord is used in context of greatness. It's used in context of might. Okay? So, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Remember the man that has faith, the one who calls down fire from heaven, the one who prays in tongues, you. Many are your afflictions, but the Lord delivers you from all of them. There are those afflictions that money cannot deliver you out of. There are those afflictions that your friends, connections cannot deliver you out of. Some of these things are emotional, that it will just take the Lord coming and picking you from there and delivering you. So when you know that your help comes from God and not man, you will go through your affliction. Amen? David said, where does my help come from? Look at David with all his might. With everything he had power, he had influence, he had women, he had luxuries. But David, that mighty man of God, reached a point, I think in the cave of Adullam, where he said, but where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? Where does your help come from during your suffering? God. So you know that God is with you all the time. He's walking beside you. He's good. He will deliver you from out of it. And then the third thing is that look at the things that are not of this world. Look on things that are above and not on the things that are below. 2 Corinthians 4. Again, 16 to 17, we read this earlier. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. When you look on the outward man, when you focus, you know there is a saying that goes, whatever you focus on grows bigger, it gets magnified. So when you focus on your affliction, by the way, these afflictions, it can be like in your area of finances, but it will affect your friendships. It will affect your relationships. People start to think, every time we see Joanne, she's going to ask us for money. Why? Because Joanne is broke. Then they start cutting you out. Okay? One of the afflictions that we went through was, now when we had just gotten married, like I already said, my relatives did not turn up. Some of them didn't turn up. Okay, the major people didn't really turn up. And so, it was very difficult for us to throw those family parties and we just invite people from some side. It looked very weird, yeah? So, I was like, yeah, but now God, how do we How do we circumvent this one here? Yeah? But those are just people, you know? Those are just people. So we went through that time. Then, you know, it would be hard for me to throw those functions, those things. And then, yet on the contrary, some of my brothers would throw those parties, and man, they have such a huge turn up, yeah? So in every way, you just feel like you're really ostracized. And the things are not your fault, they are not what. And man, it was so difficult for me when I had just gotten married, yeah? Thankfully, now I am no longer a slave to those things. You come, you want. You come if you want. If you don't want, yeah. So it's very helpful that during that time, I didn't just look at what my relatives were doing. Why? Because I was, there are other areas of my life where I was really flourishing. God had given me children, blah, blah, blah. So things were okay. But what happens is that during suffering, man, it's so possible for you to think this is the end of me, and you know, it's all magnified, and you're looking at. And this party that I was really struggling about, I was really struggling over, it's just a party of how many hours? 2, 3, and guys come eat your meat, they take your chai, then they go. 2 hours! Like, how fickle can that be? Just 2 hours. And then you spend, because of course parties and functions take a long time to be preparing and organized. So you go through 3 months of intense emotional pain and what, for just what? 2 hours? 2 hours. Of which people might even come eat your food and they won't even like it, they won't even appreciate it. So don't look on the things that are on the outside. Amen? Don't look on things that are on the outside. The outside, settle it that you know the outside man will perish. It will perish. But you know what? The inside man. Right now, I think I'm so strong. I think that is... Sometimes I'm like, my husband is like, I think you have, you know, EI, emotional intelligence, but it is so high. And sometimes I'm like, ha. The things I have suffered, the lessons I have learned on managing people and family relations, those ones, man, they took me through the rough. But thank God I'm getting there. Glory to God, I am better. Amen? So look not on the things that are on the outside. Do not focus on the things that are on the outside. When I was expecting Kwezi, you guys, if even my self-esteem went through the window, I started hiding. I don't even want people to see me. For 9 months, there are people that I saw. Then the problems came when my matron said, we are going to do a baby shower. Ah, la, la, la. I told them, no videos, no pictures, nothing, nothing. I don't even want room, and I don't have them. Why? Because I was so ashamed. It was a total change. Young girls, it was such a total change. Now, had I put all my validation on what I looked like, yeah, I don't know where I would be. I see people doing things for the gram. I see people doing things for Facebook, for statuses. And I'm like, but is this all there is for you? Girls, boys, yeah? You do things, people do things for pictures, for people to see. For me, there is a time I didn't want anybody to see me. And that was, I think, in a way God was dealing with those things that you think you really look like. And by the way, when I was growing up, I was so beautiful. But chill now. Don't look at now. Now a few things have gone. But when I was growing up, I grew up in an estate at about 14 years. I was, you know, the peak, that cup peak of teenagehood. My skin was plump. I never got pimples, ladies and gentlemen. My skin was plump. Everything was coming out, yeah? Of course, I can't say what because I have my children here. So everything was, you know? And everyone in that estate, I grew up on, our house was number 8. Everyone, the young guys would say, there is a girl there. Kalokole, na ye ku namba munana. You people, I remember and I'm like, And then you have short hair, You have short hair. I mean, I'd never had the need for eye pencil. You know, to we call a katinga, you've grown. But I never, when growing up, I never had that need. Natural, So there were boys that would come flooding the yard. They want to talk to me, be cheer. So, Banang, it was such a nice time. So, Then you know, say that girl, kagenda ku church, simanya glovimo ako, you're not going to manage. But she, that girl is beautiful, but So, that is how I grew up. Now, of course, you go through campus. Now, campus, of course, now the hair is treated. What? It's the, some people say that age is the peak of the best looks you'll ever get. I'll not tell you what age I was. So, even at the university, you're there in fellowship, but the boys, man, the guys are there. And it never made me feel any better or anything. But certainly, I would like to say that the attention wasn't nice. I will not lie. Everyone wants attention at one point. Nobody wants to be at the back, even if you're holy, how? Let me tell you the truth. But even if you're holy about what, but imagine I just come here and I just pass Pastor Moses. Similar to what? He'll be like, you know, no acknowledgement that you exist, you know? So nobody wants to be, and those are some of the things that God put in us that will keep us coming and fellowshipping with people and having friends. So attention in the right proportions and looked at the right way is good, yeah? All about even when you're married and your spouse doesn't give you some attention, be like, Tuanda Bie, what boss? What are you trying to say? Yeah? Even if, let's talk about children, you know? Your children come back and there's just no acknowledgement that they have seen you. Do you know how upsetting that is? I get so upset. I'm like, what? You mean you didn't see me? Yeah? Meanwhile, we spend the night in the same house. You didn't say good morning. You didn't see me. What? You didn't see me. I want to be acknowledged that I'm actually there. Yeah. So acknowledgement and attention is what? But beyond that, I'm teaching them good manners. So anyway, so during that time, of course, now campus, I grow up, what? Even in the brothers' fellowship, the attention was still there. But it was never my main thing, but still the attention was there. So, of course, now I came with, for me, I was innocent. I get into marriage, and I think I'm still going to stay like that. So you understand why, when I got pregnant, I got to that extreme. Because I was like, I looked at myself, and I'd be like, good morning, whoever you are. Eh? I'm like, and then that movie Shrek came out. I'm like, good morning, Shrek. I'm like, good morning, Shrek. How did you sleep today? Eh? So, but those are outward things. You can't make your whole pregnancy about what you look like. Glory to God. Glory to God, ladies. So, now, what made matters worse was me and Sam. We had really bad manners. We used to laugh at some ladies, when I just gotten married, Ngasam looks, just because I'm not yet pregnant, so of course you do not know how your wife will turn out. Someone say, hey, that one, Joanna, we pray that you don't be like that. I'm like, on it. Yeah. Then another one passes, big stomach, what, swollen legs, waddling, and Sam will like, Sam, in his mind, he never imagined his bride would ever look like that. So, when I got pregnant, I started thinking, like now I'm also even worse than some of the people that we used to laugh at. Yeah? So now I don't laugh at pregnant women. Now I see them and I'm like, the Lord bless you. The Lord be with you. So, and by the way, it was my hallmark all through the three pregnancies. So by the third child, I didn't care what I looked like. And now all those things had gone. My attention was no longer on the outward appearances. Now God dealt with all those kind of things that I would go. I think even ministering, I'm pregnant. You know, there's some people. So you call me to minister for 3 hours. I'm 9 months pregnant. You know, Hey, I'm ministering. The stomach is all zens. But I didn't care. I didn't care at that point. For me, I was doing work for the Lord. Glory to God. So no skin, no pimples, acne, bacne, whatever you want to call it, swollen legs, what? Man, nothing. All that was nothing to me. Why? Because I had understood that I'm at work with the Lord in my belly. Glory to God. Understand that you're at work with the Lord in your spiritual womb. Amen? And you will go through these things. Glory to God. Then the last thing is, keep doing what the Lord has told you to do. Keep doing what the Lord has told you to do. Do not give up. You will reap. During times of suffering, there is a temptation to give up. Sometimes you do things You come to church, you suffer with the sheep, we suffer in ministry. You don't see any results, or at least yet. But let me tell you, don't give up. Do not give up. Be like that person who goes to work every day waiting for their paycheck. Sometimes, even to be come away with you. You go to work waiting for your paycheck. You love people waiting. People who are so difficult to love, wait for that paycheck. It will come. Glory to God. It will come. Love your children. Forgive. Your paycheck will come. Your matters will one day be settled. Amen. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in this season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Now this reaping is conditional. If you don't lose heart, if you don't give up, if you don't cast away whatever you are doing, you get to a point and you're like, "Ne mukama binobiendiko, are you the one who told me to do these things or not?" But don't give up. Keep doing what God told you to do. Keep doing it. Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ had given up. He was ostracized. He had few friends. He had a squad. But in the squad, there was a snake. There was a snitch in his squad. And he knew. And God did not allow him. Imagine working with someone closely. Nengo manyi, this person is a snitch. Do you know just the pain of that? I can't even imagine it. But just the pain of knowing that, Rachel is a snitch, yet I have to work with her. This guy, Rachel is going to snitch me. She will eventually lead to my death. But I have to work with her. Can you imagine going through your years in ministry with that? So if you think that God doesn't understand, oh, Jesus doesn't understand betrayal, hello, he does. He understands heartbreak. He understands sacrifice. Glory to God. So imagine he had done that. And sometimes you think that simply because we are working with people, they should always be on your side. Absolutely not. No. Jesus had to yard his squad. One was a snitch. Others thought differently. But he still worked with them. Amen. And he suffered along with them. Now imagine he had given up. But you know what? His prize, his eyes was on you. You and I. You and I. That even on the cross, he was just looking at that. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. When the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, what comes to your mind? What could have been the joy of the Lord? What could that have been? It is you. He knew that, by the way, he would be with the Father. There were different ways of going to the Father. So that really wasn't, that is not what it means here. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It was not that he was going to meet the Father. That wasn't bringing joy to him. What was bringing joy to him was fulfilling his ministry on earth. And that ministry was redemption of mankind, in which he saw you and I. And he set his eyes on that. So when you talk about enabling grace, like I sent that out in the prayer direction for those that read it. This is what I hope that when you receive that grace, you're able, that grace will enable you to, for the joy that is set before you, endure your suffering. For the joy that is set before you, endure that suffering. When God speaks to you, comfort when you want a breakthrough. And he says, no, Mary, comfort, comfort. And you're like, comfort at what? Look at that. Payday will come. Look at the prize. Glory to God. Amen. So today, we are going to pray. We are going to pray in these last few minutes. We're going to sing a song and then we shall pray. We shall pray according to the prayer direction. Like I said at the beginning, you guys who didn't pray, we are going to pray. Amen? Why? Because I feel and I am convinced that God sees all your suffering and he's giving you the grace. Some of you are weary. Some of you want to give up, but he doesn't want you to give up. He's not a liar, but he needs you to go through this for your own good. So do not give up. And he's giving you the grace today. Amen? He is giving you the grace today. So we are going to worship in one song, and then we shall pray in tongues, receiving the grace that God has given us. Amen? Let us rise to our feet.
Yeah. Pray in tongues. Lambrosia da mande de rebosi, catala da mande de rebosi, ama. Lord, we thank you for the grace you have given us this morning. Lord, the Bible tells us that your word will not return to us void. That when you send your word, it comes with that enabling power to position us where we are supposed to be. Lord, the word that you have sent this morning is your emissary. Lord, we thank you that we are strengthened. We thank you that we are not weary. We thank you that you're giving us a fresh perspective on our scenarios. Lord, we thank you that you're working greatness in us. You're working greatness in us, Father. Lord, we thank you because above all, you are bigger than our circumstances. You are bigger than our afflictions. It is for but a moment. Lord, we thank you because joy will come. And Lord, you will not settle until you establish that which you want to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.